Mary and I just returned from a two-week trip to the northeastern United States with very dear, lifelong friends of ours, Jane and Ricardo Duran. During this trip, in addition to seeing many beautiful natural sites, we also visited numerous historical and religious sites. In Boston, we walked the Freedom Trail, on which we heard about the origins of the Massachusetts Bay Colony and the Mayflower Compact, which was one of the first attempts at self-government in the New World. We also visited Independence Hall in Philadelphia, the site of the Second Continental Congress, which spawned the idea of a representative form of government. With the passage of the Declaration of Independence, the Founding Fathers, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, mutually pledged to each other their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. We also visited two of the bloodiest battlefields of the Civil War, Antietam and Gettysburg, where tens of thousands gave their lives so that the scourge of slavery would be eradicated, resulting in what we still strive to have, a truly united United States of America. But the union sought by the Puritans and espoused in the Declaration of Independence and the U.S. Constitution, all human attempts at union pale in comparison to the union of man and woman, which we heard in today's readings. God's perfect union is the sacramental union of holy matrimony, where they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, no human being must separate. However, such a union doesn't just happen. Rather, through the grace of God, husband and wife experience the self-sacrificing love, compassion, forgiveness, and fidelity of Christ. Our understanding of marriage is mirrored in Jesus' marriage to his bride, the church. Married life is full of joy and challenges, happiness and sorrows. In our work with engaged couples, Mary and I stress how important and necessary it is for spouses to make and take time for each other, to communicate, to share, and to listen to each other. In married life, as well as in the vocations of the priesthood, consecrated and religious life, and the single life, Jesus calls us to be his disciples. This call to discipleship is an additional point in today's gospel. However, it almost seems to be an afterthought since it's included at the very end of the gospel. That invitation to discipleship calls us to move from a legalistic mindset, as we heard demonstrated by the Pharisees in their questioning of Jesus regarding the technicalities permitting divorce, to one that accepts the kingdom of God like a child. As many of you may know, before the end of this month, Mary and I will have more than doubled the number of our grandchildren, from 5 at the beginning of this year to 11. Our grandchildren, particularly the 4 newborns this year, are bundles of joy. They face each waking moment with newness and freshness. They have no preconceived notions, no concept of laws and regulations. They open themselves to experience the moment in the fullness of that moment. This is quite possibly what Jesus meant when he said that whoever does not accept the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it. That is the challenge with which we are faced, to live each waking moment of our lives with the disposition of a child, to experience a child's sense of joy and wonder in our lives, to be in the present and find surprises around every corner. God offers us his unconditional love and acceptance that can help us in turn find God in all things. Then we'll be able to open our hearts to God's love and acceptance and offer that same love and acceptance to others.